The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message.
Loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Hello, everybody. I want to talk today about our cross that we have on our sign up front. This is a little version of what you see on our sign up front. Has anybody seen that out there when they pass our church? Yeah? Okay, well, this is special to our church for these four pieces here. First, what colors do we have there?
Red.
You got red and?
Blue, and purple, and green.
Blue, purple, and green, right. But each one of those pieces is meant to represent one of you. That you maybe aren't all of them, but you are one of those. And the idea is that when we come together, that's when we make a cross. We make a cross because those four pieces together help us to see the other piece there. Now, the reason that's important is because when we talk about Jesus, here's a funny thing. I've studied Jesus for 4 years in school. I've been a pastor for all these years, and guess what? There are things about Jesus that you can teach me. And that's what we believe. We believe that each and every one of us have special gifts that when we come together, we can help and know and understand who God is better than we can without each other. If I would take this little piece of green away, if you didn't have the cross already clear there, you wouldn't see it at all. All of a sudden, you just have these three pieces. Together, we see Jesus better. Sometimes we say, in our brokenness, we see Jesus, because these were meant to be like four pieces of broken glass that come together. And we find that exactly who we are helps us to see who God is. And that cross is a symbol of who Jesus is. So can you pray with me? Dear God, help me share your love and spread the good news of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. I like your motorcycle. And I'm going to try to be media interactive here, so bear with me if I fail in any way, shape, or form. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe you didn't know it because I came down the hill Sunday morning last week, but if you were here for most of the weekend, Pastor Lita and myself were up the hill, up at Estes Park, the YMCA, with 320 people total that were up there, a youth gathering, middle school, high school, and the leaders that came with them and were up there. Who? Me. Was the name of our gathering. And I think that's really an interesting thing because it was a little bit of this idea of trying to understand who we are seeing ourselves as individuals and then also realizing how we're connected to each other. And I mention that because it actually ties really well together with our body of Christ text. The text for my sermon today is the Corinthians text that we're looking at. Oh, there it is. Okay. So as I look at the text from Corinthians, I love how this text works. I think it makes these questions come to life for us, asking ourselves, who are we as Lutherans when we think of the body of Christ? What part of the body may we fit into? You know, what do we believe that we are? And then what do others see us as, which, by the way, are two different things? And then who are we as our saviors within the body of Christ? And then also, then you could say, add to that, who are you as individuals in this body of Christ right here? It's just a wonderful thing to ponder. And there isn't one answer. That's important that we know that. But at the same time, we can play with this text for a long time. These other questions that come to my mind, how do we share who we are most effectively on all of those levels, are something that we can ponder. How do we do this in a manner that doesn't limit or oppress others? And to me, that is an interesting question on the body itself. I was thinking about that old limping person who is limping because some body part is hurting, but they don't get it fixed. And stop looking at your husbands. But you know how that can work. And then all of a sudden things get worse. Because what you've done is you've basically oppressed that one part of your body that's healthy with the one that's unhealthy, right? And you're starting to make it worse because you're off and you're losing your center. Well, we can look at our own relationship with one another the same way. And finally, how do we then find our center and embrace being connected to one another in Christ Jesus? So I'm going to use some images today to go through this. Oh, come on. To do that, I'm going to use memes. If you don't know what a meme is, memes are something that are spread a lot on Facebook and sometimes on emails as well. Simple little statements that are of truth, or at least the person who's sharing them believes they're truths. And then they go from there. So we'll talk about that. But I love these. I love to talk through them. I think this is a good one from the ELCA. We just put this on our Facebook page yesterday. Faith is the bridge between where I am and where God is taking me. So there's some really deep, thoughtful ones like that. And then there's some that are not as thoughtful. I may just move back to the center if I'm going to. I know if I'm a little tiny bit. See. Okay. Not too deep, but deep in different ways. In a world full of princesses, dare to be Batman. What I like about that one, though, when we apply that one to the body of Christ, isn't it true that sometimes we look and we think that's the thing that's important? That's who we're supposed to be? And realizing that the gifts that God has called you to, okay, maybe that's a stretch to say you're called to be Batman, or maybe not. But I think it's a fun just thought of how memes are used. But then there are these ones that are out there that you know you're a Lutheran if. You saw these a long time before this, but you do realize that some of them are true, like this one. You know you're a Lutheran when you hear, may the force be with you, and you respond. And it makes me laugh because I find the truth in it. I hear the truth in it when I hear that. I feel connected to a people because I know we do that. Is that who we are? That's a question that we want to talk about. And I want to talk about that specifically when we get to some of the other, you know, you're a Lutheran if, like this one. Oh, come on. You know you're a Lutheran when you keep a casserole in the freezer in case of a potluck. I put that up there because here's where we have a perfect example of the body of Christ not really representing all of the body of Christ. It may actually represent quite a few of you growing up in the Midwest. I bet you a lot of you were in those areas. And so you know why this is funny. But if you think about it, this is really representation of white Europeans and Midwesterners more than it is our faith. There is nothing about our faith that says you have to have a casserole in it. And here's another way to think about it. If you were given 20 seconds to tell somebody about your faith, I hope it does not include a casserole dish. But that's important. Because when we let our culture pervade our faith over and above our faith, the person who walks into your church, they can confuse your culture for what it is to be a Christian. We don't want that. There was a group called Decolonizing Lutherans, and it was based on the idea of how do we get us past our Swedish, Norwegian, Finnish, whatever it is background that you are. And it was led by groups of Hispanics and African Americans in the church and some others. They were helping us to see some of the things that we do as white European Lutherans that just don't represent us very well. They wanted to shock us. They started with this one that I think is a really funny one. Because, you know, if your background is not from Europe, maybe this one would make sense to you. Because you might, right? This seems so absurd to you and I. But if you are a Lutheran in Africa, this would relate to you. And it's so absurd to you. But should it be? Here's a couple others, just to make us think. You might be a Lutheran if this is on your church picnic menu. And I wouldn't mind going to that church picnic, by the way. But that's not something that represents us. It really might represent the main Lutherans very well. This is my background in the South. You might be a Lutheran if this is part of your church budget. Which, by the way, if we have a few people who would like to start smoking, I would be willing to go to council and talk about the possibility. I'm just saying. But it's goofy, isn't it? You know, you think about it, you can see how absurd that is to think that that's what it is to be Lutheran in one way. You might be a Lutheran if you serve champurrado and pozole at your posada. Diana, our Pastor Diana, our intern several years ago, she's in El Paso. This would be a little more likely in her world. Plug, Pastor Lita's taking a group of middle school and high schoolers, to do a VBS this summer. So the reason I share all of these is I want to stop here for a moment and remind ourselves of tunnel vision. We can focus on, in the body of Christ, on the body of part that we feel comfortable with, the part that we relate to. You know, in a sense, you could look at it and say maybe our Savior's Lutheran Church in that body of Christ is a shoulder blade. I'm just kind of, read into what that would mean. Just more of the idea, if that was the case, we might look and say, oh, look, that's a shoulder blade entering our church today. Let's reach out and greet them because they're like us. We know them. When we have enough shoulders. What we really need is some other parts. Or we can also be in that part of the body of Christ where we look and say, why are we not moving? Well, we don't have enough of these people who are the feet that can reach out into our world enough. And, you know, trying to walk on our elbows is not working too well for us. So tunnel vision is something that I think is so important in our church to consider and ask ourselves, where is my own tunnel vision? It's another one of those things. It's not really helpful for me to just point it out in you or in others, but for us to look and say, when is it that I find myself focusing so much on one particular thing, which I might add may very well be extremely valuable, but does not allow us to see all the things that God is up to, all the ways that God is working. See, when we peel away those things that may be true but don't really account for our faith, I think it's important that we start repenting in our faith for those things that are, okay, there are other things that they actually are almost a hindrance to our brothers and sisters in the world. If that person walks in and says, and we realize that they are part of the body of Christ, but we don't want to welcome them in because they're not like us, that's where we really become a problem, where we are hindering God's work in the kingdom of God. And I was thinking about all the things that we could repent for ourselves, for who we have been, and how we walk today, and remind ourselves that now we walk in Christ Jesus. We find a way to be God's people here and now. I don't want you to feel terrible about those things, but I want us to look and say, from our baptismal promise, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven, and to be a child of the light. to reflect light and hope, to reject darkness and hate. Do you know that picture right here is one of you? I don't know which one of you, so, and it might be somebody who's not at this service, but this is a picture of our church. I just want to point that out because isn't it interesting to think that what a beautiful picture, and if you are taken in the right light, in the right moment, you are that beautiful. You are that amazing. You have this gift to share with the world. But we're also called not only to reflect that light and hope, but to look at the places where we have tunnel vision, where we have darkness, where we have hate, and repent of those things. I was thinking about that list, and I wanted to name a few of them. The things that we know have been a part of our church body. Homophobia, xenophobia, which, by the way, I think that's a great word, the fear of alien. Because there it is in a nutshell, all of the other things. The fear of the alien is the fear of anything that is different from what you're used to. You can put it into some sort of alien other country thing, but it can be your world. It can be a Polish Lutheran coming into Norwegian Lutherans. That's as crazy as it is, at whatever level you want to look at. We can see that we have that. And we know that we have misogyny. Places where we've lifted up men over women. And it's only been in my lifetime that our own church has come to lift up women as pastors. My own mother said she would have been a pastor, but she couldn't be when she came to that point in life where she was figuring out what she wanted to be and do. We can look at all of those things, and finally we can say, we need to say to God, Lord Jesus, these things that I have broken, these things that I have walked on and assuming they're normal, please redirect my life. And that's the part of repentance that sometimes when we look and say, why do I need to repent? Repenting is simply looking where you need to look and realizing that you can align yourself to what God is up to and take a step back and help yourself to get out of that tunnel vision that we can so get caught in and allow ourselves to see our brothers and sisters on each and every side of us that are a part of the body of Christ and figure out together how we can proclaim this gospel, this gift in our world today. Let's do it. Amen.